We'll start an eye in him and out. We finished up the Gemara here until the Mishnah yesterday. But in conclusion, I just wanted to deal with the... But we had the Ran, which comes out to be that there's an interesting issue of the Halacha. Because what do we know? The din in the Halacha is by Rabbi Akiva. Right? Halacha, Rabbi Akiva may chave rov, below may chave rav. So in our Mishnah, it would be...
That's if you have... if you have Chachamim against him, if you have two other different opinions...
Right, so it should be okay. He should win. Rabbi Akiva should be the winner. So what do we say? What was Rabbi Akiva's opinion yesterday? So we said that Rabbi Akiva believes that when there's a Yavam and Yavamah, that you never get the right to be made fair the nether, as opposed to Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer believes that the Yavam, the Yavamah, can always be made fair, I mean, depending on that circumstance, but it would be, if the, either the first Brisa, which suggested that there had to be Ma'amar, or the second Brisa, which meant, indicated there had to be Omad B'din Uvarach, right, that he stood in Din, and they were Mechayvim Zonos. So it becomes the equivalent of an Arusa for Rabbi Eliezer. And Rabbi Yeshua believed that if there's one Yavam and one Yavamah, then that Yavam, because of the Zika, right, can, therefore, because either Zika is Kiknusa Damya or Zika is Kiarusa Damya, either way, it would empower him to be made fair than the Dharm, either by himself or in conjunction with the father, which the Ron discussed yesterday. So now, the question is, if we say, Aloha to Rabbi Akiva may chave ro, so if we say the Aloha here is like Rabbi Akiva, that one cannot be made for a Yavam and Yavamah cannot be made for one for the other, what we saw earlier, it comes into contradiction or provides, it's an issue with regards to another psak that we have, and we paskin by Yavam and Yavamah that Yesh Zika. There is Zika between a Yavam and Yavamah. And the Gemara in the first place, when it's discussing what's the opinions of each of the three, it says Rabbi Yeshua holds Yesh Zika. Rabbi Akiva holds Ein Zika. Rabbi Eliezer holds, we don't know. Oh, and that's what the solution was, that he has Mamar in the Braisa. But then, if Rabbi Akiva holds there's no Zika, how could it be we pass him like Rabbi Akiva on the premise that there isn't Zika, but we know that the Lord, there is Zika?
Well, do we understand Rabbi Akiva to mean that there's no such thing as Zika in terms of, in the whole Mesachus Yavamos, we know there's such thing as Zika, but what does it mean that in terms of making her like even in Arusa and Yeshua, Zika is not the same way?
Okay, so the Iran gives an answer similar to you, not exactly what you're saying. He does say there is no Zika, but he says something similar to what Joel is suggesting now, that you could have, even though you do have Zika, even though you might hold Zika, you might still hold a Rabbi Akiva's position here. And that's because maybe things change as we progress through the Gemara. So let's see here. L'inyan halacha, it's down on not the widest lines, right before, two lines up from the widest lines in the Ran, it's L'inyan halacha. See that? It's the last word on the line. U'l'inyan halacha. Okay. U'l'inyan halacha, kaimalan k'Rabbi Akiva. Deinu meikher, lo le'echad, lo le'shtayim. Da'af agav, the kaimalan yesh zika. Even though we passed him, there is zika. U'l'el parishna, tamad, the Rabbi Akiva, mishum tisvirle, ain't zika. And earlier on, we explained Rabbi Akiva's position to be that there is no zika. That's what we explained on Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph. That's before we bumped into the second Brisa. Even if you believe that Rabbi Akiva holds there is Zika, Amar to Lo Yefer. Nevertheless, he would say, Lo Yefer Lefisha Eina Yavama Gemuro Leisha. Because the Yavama is not connected to an Isha like Kanarusha. I think that's what you were suggesting, Shaul, that even though you might believe there is Zika, you could still differentiate between a Yavam to Yavama and an Arusa, just like we did at the way in here, which is the Rabbi Akiva says an Arusa is tied to an Arus in a way that is not equivalent to that of a Yavam to Yavama, because an Arusa gets Skila if she has an extramarital affair, whereas a Yavama does not. Shein ha'kayev le'a Skila k'naram Arusa. But came into Kalsay ben Azai with Rabbi Akiva. Well, first of all, Rabbi Akiva was praised by Ben Azai, right? That was the last line on yesterday's daf. Number two is, the Zakina of the Rabbi Lezer, the Rabbi Yeshua Bedina, Lohadrile Mide. Right? And also, Rabbi Akiva gave an argument that was not responded to by Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua, Mide Naktin and Kavate. Therefore, we paskin like him. Kain Pasuk Rambanza. Therefore, the Ramban paskins that way. Umistaf Kabi. It's vaguely, mystifically, that the Ran has a suffix. Listen to the suffix. Kaven the Yabam, Lomatsi Mayfair. So the Yavam is not able to be made for the Nedarim. What happens to the father in this situation? Right? In a situation where an Arus cannot be made fair, who can? The father inherits the right of the Arus. Whereas over here, you have a Yavam. What's the status when the Yavam cannot exercise the right of the Arus? That's what he says. He says, I'm in doubt. Given the Yavam no Matzi Mefer, Ab Mokum Yavam in Arusin, he Matzi Mefer alone. If a Yavam from an Arus that dies, right, an Arus dies, there's an Arusin, the Arus dies. Now, does the father inherit the right of the Arus? Right? Or does the Yavam inherit the right? I haven't seen any psak with this regards to this. Mew. But stoppably, it makes sense to me, the Nedarim Shinidra Bebeit Aviyah. The Nedarim that you took prior to becoming an Arus, or Obel Darus, or while she was an Arus, before she fell before the Yavam, Matzi Mefer, the father can be made for them alone. Daha, Kohecha Deleka Arus. Right, anytime there's no arus, mesa bal, it's a rope number, shows the ab. We know that the rights move from the bal to the ab. Hocha came to lo zachi ba yavam, and here since the yavam doesn't pick up that right, in the dre yavama,
it's my delay. Especially when we say Rabbi Akiva, that the connection is even less than that of the
right.
Arus.
Very good. Kaman delete dummy. It's as if he does not exist. Right, and he says this is similar to what I explained in the position of Beit Shammai. And Shabbos is daf. The Ran on Aleph, right? The Ran on Shabbos explained that in Beit Shammai's position, when you have an Arus Akron, even when there's a second Arus that comes, the father has the sole right to be mefer in the Nedarim. Why? Because Rokna Rishus Liyav. That once the first Arus dies, the rights move directly to the father, and when the second Arus shows up, he is meaningless. Because since he does not inherit the rights, or does not step into the shoes of the first Arus, he is irrelevant, or as if he does not exist. And therefore, the Av can be made for a loan, according to Beit Shammai. And so the Ran is explained, you can give the same explanation with regards to a Yavam and a Yavamah here. That the father inherits the right of the Arus, and since the Yavam is meaningless with regards to the Nedarim, therefore the father alone can be made for the Nedar, because he inherited the right of the Arus plus his own rights. And therefore the Yavam is as if he does not exist at all here. So that's the way the Ran is machriya with regards to Nedarim that were taken while she was in Arusa or prior. The only thing that is left is, which he doesn't have an answer to. Okay, so then if you skip down 2 lines from where we are, when we just said, if you skip down 2 lines, towards the end of the line says, Lididanami, Biyavam, Kaven Belo Zachi Ben Nidre Arus. Since the Yavam never takes over the Nedarim of the Arus, Rishon Ab made some Matim Efer. Miu, Benedarim She Nidra Bershus Yavam, Akati Misvekali. Nedarim that she took under the wings, right, possession of the Yavam, he says they still have a Safek. So much nearly, Bezet, only in your Maisa Tarchion, Ubdikab Divir Shonimza. I have to check out on Yishonim, I have to see what we would do then on Yen HaLocha. But you see that the Ran believes that he's using that which, even though we don't pass him like Beit Shammai, he's using the logic that he used by Beit Shammai, which is that when a party, the second party, does not take over the rights of the first party, and since it's when Arus Akron does not inherit the rights of the Arus Rishon, then the rights of the Arus Rishon fall to the father. It's Rokh Nereshus Le'av. So to over here, since the Yavam does not replace the Arus Rishon, therefore, Nidrokna Rishus Liyav, the rights of the first Arus fall over or move over to the father. Nidrokna Rishus Liyav, and he can be made for Nedarim. The only question he has is with regards to Nedarim that are taken while she's in possession of the Yavam. Does the father, do we say the Yavam is irrelevant in that case? Even though he can't be made fair, right? The reason he can't be made fair could be one of two reasons, right? He can't be made fair because he's irrelevant, and that's what we're saying in the cases of the Nedarim prior. Or he can't be made fair because we need him to be made fair, but he's not powerful enough to be made fair. I mean, he doesn't have a strong enough relationship with her. He has some relationship which would entitle him to be made fair, but he just doesn't have the ability or the power to be made fair. And therefore, in that case, the father cannot alone be made fair in the Nedarim because he needs the Yavam, but he just can't. The Yavam's not powerful enough to do it. And that's the Ram leaves the Sveiko. All right. That wraps up the previous sugya. Now we move on to the next Mishnah. This is the Mishnah we had earlier, right? We had it on Sunday's daf. Haomer, Haomer Leishto, Kol nedarim shitidurim mikan achavom mimakom ploni harihen kayamim. But if any nether you take from the time I leave until the time I come back, they are mikuyam, lo amar klum. That is a meaningless statement. He cannot make such a statement. Harehen mufarin. If he says that they will be invalid, Rabbi Elazar omer mufar. Rabbi Elazar says it works. Chamimim enu mufar. The Chamim says it does not work. So the Chamim are consistent. Why they say this doesn't work with a kiyum and it doesn't work with a hafara? Why is it that Rabbi Elazar differentiates between kiyum and hafara? So that is a kal vachomer that the Rabbi Elazar is about to introduce. Amar Rabbi Elazar, im hefer nedarim shebo lichlal isur. If he's able to be nullified in the nedarim, right, that came into an isur, meaning that the woman already took the nether, and the nether is effective. The husband is able to be made for such a nether. Lo yafer nedarim shebo lichlal isur. Why can't he erase that which never came into existence? Meaning, why can't he be preventative medicine, right? Even preventative medicine looks like it costs more, but it's cheaper in the long run. It's the same thing here. If she can be made fair, right? If he can be made fair after the fact, then before the fact, certainly he should be able to prevent it from ever taking hold in that day. So, Amrullo, Hari Homer. The pasuk says, Isha yikimenu, Visha yifarenu. Right, a husband can be mekayim the nether, and a husband can be made the nether. Jabal chalal hekim, bal chalal hefer. You cannot have such a differentiation between hakama and hafara. According to Rabbi Elazar, it ends up that you have such a difference. There's no kal vachomer by hakama. You can't make such a kal vachomer. Just because he can be making a nether after she took it already doesn't mean he can be making a nether before she took it. Because once she's taking it, it's a stronger nether. It's a stronger nether, that's maybe why he can be making the nether. But prior to her taking the nether, when it's not as strong, maybe hakama does not work. Such a kal vachomer does not work. So therefore, by hakama, according to Rabbi Eliezer, there is no such thing as a pre-neder hakama, but there is such thing as a pre-neder hafara. So there you'll have a difference between hakama and hafara, and that the pasuk does not allow. There's a hekesh between hafara and hekesh. That's not allowed according to the chachamim. The chachamim said we have to be consistent. So here in our instance, since lo balik lo hekesh, lo balik lo hefer, since it does not work by this preemptive, as the Shul calls it. A comma does not work, therefore the preemptive hafara does not work. So that's machlokes between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim. We saw this earlier, because the Gemara tried to bring a proof from here that a husband could be made for nedarim even below shmiya, right, even without shmiya. And that's what the Ran says, berihuta. If you run through the Mishnah, it really sounds like Pashup Shad in the Mishnah is that is true. That a husband could take a net that could be made for the nether without shmiya. That doesn't seem to be the issue, even though the Gemara makes out an ukimta that he says, and then later on he hears about it, but nevertheless the Ran says that's a stretch rather than Pashup Shad in the Mishnah is that he didn't hear about it, and that's functions in that case. That's when it came to Paskin Alokha, that's the Ran said. Now, Gemara asks an interesting question to Gabi Rabbi Eliezer, Ibailuhu. Rabbi Eliezer, Mechal Chalim Mubavatlin, oh, Timalo Chalim Klau. When the Rabbi Elazar says that you can do this preemptive, right, or this pre-hafara, this pre-neder hafara, how does it function? Does it function by not allowing the neder to ever take effect? Or does it function by being basically the cure is there at the moment the neder is chal? So the neder is chal, but right away it's mufa. So my nefer, who cares, right? I mean, why does it make a difference? In the end, the neder is not effective in either instance, there is no neder here. Why does it make a difference? Am I not mina to go the Akis Akrina Bahadinidra? Someone else, or she herself, was makis an additional nether with this nether. So we had this before. So for instance, she says Harini Nizira, and then someone says Vani. So he is copying what she says. So if we say that this hafara, this pre-hafara, pre-nether hafara, wipes out the nether entirely, doesn't allow the nether to take effect, then the person's being toloi, his nether, on the first, on her nether, would be ineffective. Because she never had a nether, in order for him to be matpis, his nether with her nether. Whereas if you believe that the nether takes effect for a moment, and then is mufar, then there is a real nether. And when you say ani, you're matpis with that nether. From the moment that it's effective, you are matpis in it, and then the afara takes place after that moment, and therefore you'd be able to be mapis by the nether.
Yeah, but he was mapis after it was already butl.
No, he did it prior, because he leaves for overseas and says, any nether that you will take will be mufar. And she, a week later, takes a nether and a zirut, tarin and a zira. Another guy says, bani.
No, but immediately after she says, ani nazira.
Right, so that's your question. So now, Ram brings up a similar question to what Zvi's saying, but from something earlier in our Masechta, very early in the Masechta. Right, in the first couple of daf we discussed this, is a person is matis b'shlomim. Matis b'basar shlomim. So basar shlomim is already mutar. So we know that a person is matis b'basar shlomim, it's meaningless. There, the Gemara actually asked, when he's matis b'basar shlomim, is he matis b'basar hakla or hashta? Is he matis with the current state of the shlomim, which is mutar, or is he matis b'basar? Right? B'shnei Zrika. Right? B'shmane Yisura. Is he matbis in the Shlomim prior to the... Right? In the Zman that was Hekdesh, basically. Prior to Zrika, where it was Hekdesh. So that Gemara quotes. So
he says Besar. He doesn't say...
What?
He says Besar.
Right. He says Besar Shlomim.
So it's not Besar until...
Later
I see it even before
Zrika. The Gemara wants to know, but before Zrika is Besar. But the problem is that the Gemara is saying, when he says Besar Shlomim, he knows that Besar is Kulin. So certainly, that means he must be Matbis. He's saying, Besar Shlomim, that came from Hekdesh. That's what I mean Matbis with, right? I'm guessing with its original Kibimi Kara, Okida Hashka. That's what the Gemara asked over there. So Ryan asks, this is what you're asking, Sweet. When we say that he's Matbis to the Nether, why isn't the Gemara asking that basic question? And that's the same question should apply here. If you believe the nether is never chal, nothing to talk about. But if you believe the nether is chal for a second and it's mufar, and then he says, va'ani, what do we look at as ani? Butter hashto, there is no nether. Or do we go butter mi'ikara, that he knows that there's no nether, but he's going after the core of when the nether
like it was.
Right, the original state of the nether. So why shouldn't that question...
Fragment of time in which it was actually
effective, right. Why isn't the Gemara asking, why isn't the Gemara referencing back to that Gemara? Because that should be the question at hand here. Basically, based on Tzvi's question, which is that when he takes the nether, right, it's not in existence. So the Ron asks this question. Ron brings one question before that. I'll speak it out, but it's very obvious. The man says, well, we said earlier in the Masechta that if you have a daisy chain of Nedarim, and the first one was Matir is Nether, then they all fall away. So why not over here too? If he premises Nether on the woman, even if the Alpar is affected after the Nether takes effect, why doesn't it wipe out all the Nedarim? Why isn't there a daisy chain? So Ron says, that's an easy answer, the Ron says, because that's the basic difference between Hafara and Hatara. Hatara and Nether is Oker the Nether Meikara. The way Hatara and Nedarim works is as if the Nether was a Nidri Tos. It's as if the Nether never existed. If the Nether existed, then a daisy chain Nether would go away because there was never any effective Nether. Whereas Hafara is a prospective removal of the Nether. If it's a prospective removal of the Nether, then the Nether at one point was Chal.
Yeah, but what if he does it beforehand?
But no, oh, so that's your question. So that's just
right. Like our case.
Right.
Our case is where he does it beforehand.
Right.
So he clotheslines it before it even exists.
Right. So that's the Gemara's question. The Gemara's question is, does that look like Hafara and it never takes effect? Or does it look like it took effect and then it's Mufar? But even if it is Mufar after it takes effect, your question exists is when he's saying Bani, it's already almost gone. Mm-hmm. Right? So that's the question. So that's the second question in the Ron. After he answers the first question, he goes, Umakshu tu halfi. So we look five lines down from the bottom in the Ron. It says Makshu Tuhaha. It's the first two words in the line. It's the Makshu Tuhaha. Okay? See that? It says Makshu Tuhaha and Ayin Hayim and Aleph. Ayin Hayim and
Aleph.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, Makshu Tuhaha. The second word on the line there. Okay? And he the Chayli Hat Basa, Mayavi. Even if you say the colors of Mayavi, Nema, came into Atisba, Ki Abtil Nidra Kama, Abtil Namihai. Right? The Dina Namatis Hachiyu. That's the way Het Pasa works. Right? Below Kushihu. And that's not a Kasha. Cloud. The low Itmar Hutar Echuman Hutar Kulam. Elevahetar Chacham Shaoker Nether Mikaro. That's only when you remove the Nether in its entirety. Hilkach Kosha Hutar Achadmehem Igle Milsa Shoyakan. Nether Meolam. Uvat Ula Het Pasa Debatra. So that the daisy chain can never exist because you're mat in the Nether and it falls away. Of a bow, so you know, okay, on the left raya, but a bow that is only prospective, on the kind of a, afo pishotarishon, inach bisurayu kamay. Even though that you're removed in woman's nether, the other nedarim stand in place. Okay, now back to the original question. If you skip back up 9 lines up from the bottom in the Ran. The first word on the line is a Mokshu. See that? Mokshu, 9 lines up in the Ran.
Yeah.
Well, Mokshu, first word on the line. Mokshu Akhav, Afilu, this is Tzvi's question. Afilu Temer Chaylin Ubetelim, Eche Matzi Matis. Even if you say it's Chal, and then it's Batel, how can it be Matis? Maishnam, Mamai Dibayil, Amberesh Mechilfin. This is different than what we saw in Tafir Aleph. Hecha, the man of Basar Shlomim, Lachas Rikas Damim, Kamei. This Basar Shlomim sitting there. He hit this bay Basar Akher, and he says, Harizu Kazu, or Zeh Kazeh. Dibayilam, Ibidi Ikara Kamatis, Vasar, or Beheitera Kahashta Kamatis Vishari. Is he referencing the original state of the item, or is he referencing the state today of the item? Umaskana, the Beheitera Kamatis. Over there, Amaskana was that he's Matpis Beheitera in the current state. Igum Emrit Vodami. So why is it different over here? The Shani Hosam Damar Zeh Kazeh. He's used the lashon of this is like this. Shemap Yamar Duk Moshe Hu Zeh Akshav Kamar. Vahachu Shazu Omer Tanini Nizira. She says I'm a Nazir. By Matpis Beheitera Va'ani, and he says me too. Mashem Vadai Deb Nizirus Ka'amra. It's clear that he's referencing her Nizirus and not saying Zeh Kazeh. Right? When do we say that we go Batar Hashta? Batar Hashta is when there's something in front of us, and he's saying Zeh Kazeh. Because then he's referencing, he's saying that this is like this.
Well, let me ask you that. If I'm referring to myself, what's the analog to the grammatical term Zeh?
Oh, you could say Zeh Kazeh if you refer to yourself in the third person, right? Zeh Kazeh.
No one does that.
All right, but that's
Bnei Adam.
All right, so that's the Ran's point. The Ran's point is
actually.
I never learned that yet.
he's making a joke. He's referring to himself. So you have. If you refer to yourself in the third person, you could say Zeh Kazeh. But the point is, that's I think the Ran's point. The Ran's point is when you're mapping an object with another object and say Zeh Kazeh, it's unclear what you mean. This object is like this object. It's unclear what you mean. It's because you haven't defined it. But when you say, after someone says, Zahareni Nazira, Va'ani, what's the question at hand? All you're trying to say is like, I am a Nazir. Like, that Ani is, I am a Nazir. It's clear that when you say Va'ani, that's what you mean. When you say Zeh Kazeh, it's not clear what you mean. Because Zeh Kazeh, there's something sitting in front of you saying, this is like this. Right? When you say Vani, it's clear that you're referencing her original Nazirus, or her Nazirut. That actually says in Nazirut. It's almost like you said, Amen Vani. Right? Me too. Right? And therefore, me too.
You and me.
Right?
In other words, what you are and what I am.
So it's not, so you're saying it's the equivalent of Zeh Kazeh, and you really can't differentiate. So
yeah.
Okay. The Rand likes to differ, but I think you might have a possibility because he is stretching here a little bit. Shabbat number who's there? Kashav, come on. All the shoes are marty already is here. Vayimat bisbav amarani mashma vadek nizirus kamar kamatis. Vachi muchas zugin the nizirus. If you go to nizirus, we see this. Shnichta b'samach is Rath Hashem. He says, I'll prove it to you from that which we're going to see in a couple minutes in the nizirus that whenever you say someone says already nizir and then he says va'ani, that va'ani is basically saying already nizir. Right, and not the equivalent of saying Zeh Kazeh. That's what the Ran says. He says, we'll get to it in a couple of minutes. Alright. So now the Gemara says, V'may nafkamina. Right? What's the difference between whether it's chal or not? You go on, the Abdi Sachrina Ba'adei Nidra, someone is mapis in this Nidra, Yamar Tchalim, Haviyatifusuta. And if it's chal, then the other Nidra is mutpas in this Nidra. Yamar Lochal, and if you say that the pre-Nidra Afara, he is equivalent to an akira, meaning that it does not exist, that far it never takes effect. Lo chalu.
Right, to Ron's point is the Gemara.
Right.
Because the Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara
doesn't answer that, so it must be there's some sort of difference.
It must be that the Gemara just states as a fact that if it's chal, then it's tokens. So
we have seen in the places, other places in the Dharma that the Gemara deals with a local issue with that and ignores. Right, other places
principles
that we know
easily established.
Right, or mostly in other places than Shas. Internal to the Dharma maybe is not as prevalent. Right. So Yamarit La Khalin, if you say it never takes effect, Lo Kamamash Mashasha, there's nothing to it. And therefore there's nothing to it, then you can't be Makis in that nether. My what's Allah Khatashma Amar Abilazar Imhay for Nidarm Shabal Khal Isur Lo Yekar Nidarm Shlobal Khal Isur. Shmamila lo chalim. The Chavachomer of Rebbe Lezer in the Mishnah, how does it work? He says, right? That if she can be made, if it can be made for Nedarim that already took effect, then certainly it can be made for not Nedarim that never took effect, right? So if they never took effect, sounds like exactly that. They never took effect. Shmamina lo kalin miktani she'inan ba'in doesn't say that they never come to effect. She'lo ba'u k'tani, that they will not come to effect of this, he says. Da'in lo ba'u, right? That they have not yet come to be effective. And that the terminology that he uses, it does not imply that they will never be effective neder, it's just that his afara is in place prior to its ever being effective. But you see the difference there. Rabbi Elazar's Kavachomer can exist and say, if he can be made for a neder when it's already in existence, so you can read Rabbi Elazar means, since it's not in existence, since he can be made for a neder that's in existence, then it must be that it can be made for a neder that will not come into existence. And the Gemara says, well, you don't have to say that. You could say achibo, meaning that he takes the afara prior to its coming into existence. Not that it never does come into existence, but it's prior to its coming into existence. And that should be an effective Kal Vachomer as well. If you can take afara when it's in existence, then you should make it afara prior to it coming into existence, even though it will be, and then it will be mufar immediately, but it will be able to come into existence. So we don't have a good conclusion from this Gemara. Tashma. Yeah, it's.
I was just thinking that the Mishnah itself, but you know, both sides must agree what we're actually talking about here, and they just have different opinions. But they probably both agree that it could be that they both agree that it does come into existence, and then it's there for afterwards.
Right.
It's just that whether that's allowed or not.
Right.
Or are they both arguing about whether you can bottle it before it even begins?
Right. I mean, so that's I think I agree with your first statement, which is that they do not argue about that point because the Rabbanan's response to Rabbi Lezer is it's a gzeras akasim isha yifren isha yitivenu. If they argued whether it was mubutal or not mubutal miyikara, then they could have discussed at least that issue, right? They would have.
Essentially, if you do such a thing,
right? Whether it's effective at all, whether it takes effect, right? The fact that the mission does not address it means that the mission assumes that one of the two was true,
right? Right. There's a question would be a last resort, right? They would just say, "Discussing." If they disagreed in the principle,
right?
Then they would.
All the Gemara is doing here is
asking what the underlying premise is. In Rabbi Elazar's Kal Vachomer, how does it work? Does it work because the nether never takes effect, or does it work because the nether is effective, but it's mufar right away?
You just kind of said that it has to be that.
It doesn't have to be. That's what the Gemara rejected. The Gemara said the thought it had to be that it doesn't come into existence at all, because that's his Kal Vachomer. The Gemara says, no, all it means is you can still have an effective Kal Vachomer by saying, if it was in existence, he can be made for it, then certainly if he does that far prior to its coming into existence, that should work. Not that it does not come into existence, but prior to it coming into existence. So you could read it either way. The mission is not, that's what the Gemara is saying, it's inconclusive from the Mishnah, because the Mishnah could read either way in the Kal Vachomer. Since it can read either way, then you don't have a conclusion from our Mishnah. All right, Tashma. Amar Lam Rabbi Elazar, Umam Makom She'ein Mefer Nidre Atzmo, Mishinadar Mefer Nidre Atzmo, Chelo Yidor, Makom She'mefer Nidre Ishto, Mishididor, Eno Dinji Efer Nidre Ishto, Achelo Tidor. All right, so hafara here is being used loosely. The term hafara is used loosely here. It really means, where do we see? So a person cannot be, a person cannot nullify his own nedarim, right? Or he can't even be matir his own nedarim. Because here the term mefer we'll use loosely, but it means maybe matir nether. He cannot be matir his own nedarim. Once he's taken a nether, can he be matir his nether? The answer is no. Before a person takes a nether, can he be matir his nether? The answer is
yes.
When do we have that? Not Hatar Sinzaim. Oh, it is Hatar Sinzaim, but it's not. It's a by Kol Nidre.
You said that Rabbeinu Tam.
Right. Rabbeinu Tam is by Kol Nidre, exactly. The by Kol Nidre, we say that a person can make a tznai at the beginning of the year, but any neder he takes later in the year will not be effective. So a person who cannot be matter his own neder is still yet is still able to preemptively, right, stop his neder from taking effect. Now, by a wife, can he be made for her neder once it exists? The answer is yes. So certainly he should be able to preemptively be made for the neder. Right? That's Rabbi Elazar's Kal Vachomer. As in my lab, the ishto to me delay. So if you equate his wife to him, what is his status? When he does a taras nedarim, If he's already taken the neder, it can't be matir. If prior to taking the neder, he has a tnai in place that it will not be effective, it never takes effect. It's not like it takes effect and now there's ataras nedarim. It's a nidre tos. It's a mistaken neder, and a mistaken neder never takes effect. So if the Rabbi Eliezer is comparing the individual to his wife, by the individual, the neder never takes effect. So he must be saying the same thing by the wife. That by the wife, the hafara should make it that the neder never takes effect. Right? That it never comes into existence. So that's what Gemara says. So there we can prove that a neder never is chal. Right? It's never chal. So Gemara says, Mahu delo chaylin, just like his are never effective because it's a midre tos. Ab ishto nami lo chaylin, his wife will also not take effect. Where it says, well, hakadita, hakadita. He's comparing a wife to a husband, each on their own plane. The husband's is an issue of midre tos, and the woman's is an issue of hafara. But he's just showing you that if you cannot, if by a husband where you cannot post facto deal with the nether, he can deal with it preemptively, then certainly by the wife, where he can deal with it after the fact, then he certainly can deal with it prior to the effect. But not that they're exactly equivalent in how they function. Because one is hafara and one is hatara. Alright. Right. Tashma. Right, there are three girsos in this Gemara. And I'll stop at the end of the daf, even though the Gemara continues through to the next Mishnah. I think we'll stop at the end of the daf today. But so there is a seifa to this Mishnah, by this Braisa that we're quoting over here, the Braisa from the Tosafot that we're quoting over here. There is a conclusion, there's a seifa that needs to be... that's dealt with afterwards, but we'll deal with the ratio. And again, in the ratio, there are three girsos. We have one of three girsos here in our Gemara. All right, so we'll read it according to our girsa first, okay, and then we'll deal with the other girsos afterwards. Amar lo Rabbi Elazar, so now the Chachamim are responding to Rabbi Elazar and saying, well, is it always true that when you do something after the, when you effectively can do something after the fact, that you can preemptively strike and remove it beforehand? So what's the case? Well, my mikvah, shemala etzmei mitumasam. A mikvah can remove tumah from someone who is tameh. Einu matzil ala tahorim li tameh. If you are already tahor and you're in the mikvah and you have a you touch a sheretz, that does not mean that you're automatically tahor. Right? That's hatovel b'sheretz yada. Right? That you can't. So even though a mikvah is effective in removing tumah, it's not effective in preventing tumah from taking a place.
So what, while you're in the mikvah?
Right, and you touch tumah, it's not effective, the mikvah. So why should it be? So it's not true, some are pointing out, that it's not always true because that just because some sort of item, some sort of halachic principle works after something's in effect, doesn't necessarily mean, by definition, it works before it's in effect. So just because,
or even during.
Or during, right? There it's during.
I don't think it's during.
Oh, but no, but he didn't hold. He could wait. He's there. He's in the mikvah, and then he touches the sheretz.
The sheretz be yada.
Right. That's when it's already in his yada. But what happens if he's in the mikvah, and then he's touches the sheretz? So, or he goes in the mikvah, comes out, and touches the sheretz. Just because he went to the mikvah doesn't automatically make him tahor for that which takes place afterwards. I mean, the mikvah is not preventative. It only works as a right post facto. It only works after the fact.
Because the mikvah is never supposed to be preventative. It's not. Well, you're saying I get in. I'm getting into this mikvah now to make me tahor for after I touch a sheretz.
Right. You could say it. I'm saying it doesn't work.
Right. And he's tahor. He has no reason to go into a mikvah. You know. Let me put an extra layer of tahor on.
I mean, the difference here is that you're designating the action for the method to be made there. You're designating the action to be after, or at the point where the neder is being taken. Whereas here, you're designating the action by physically getting into the event actually happens.
Right, you have a strong argument, which is that by dibur, you can separate between the ma'aseh ha-dibur and the chalos ha-dibur. Which is that you can have, at one point I say something, but the effectiveness of my dibur only happens in the future. Whereas by a ma'aseh mikveh, you can't claim that my ma'aseh mikvah is now, and they have a chalos mikvah later on. Because anytime you have an action like that, the maisa and the chalos happen simultaneously.
Although, you see, by kenyan, right? You could say, the person makes a kenyan and says, after 30 days, this kenyan should be effective as of now.
But that's, again, his dibor is changing where the chalos happens, right? You can't. There are times where we have a masa, but the maisa kinyan you can extend only if you say, if you make the kinyan in a way which says that the kinyan is effective
from
mihayom, mihashkad, or mihayom, or something like that, right? You have to use some sort of terminology that makes the kinyan continuously effective or effective in the future.
Let's say you're impure.
So,
go ahead.
So I was going to say, maybe by the mikvah you could, you know, you could have to say something like that. He's going into the mikvah with saying, this is effective for when I touch my shirts later on. Maybe you can have a chalos mikvah later. He thinks.
Because the nafkamin is that if you were impure and you got into the mikvah and you made that condition, you wouldn't be pure when you got out, not for another 30 days.
Right. But that would, but does that help? And the answer is no, it doesn't work. Right, so that's what the Chachamim are saying, that just because it's effective today after you're in this situation doesn't mean it okay. I think that's the bigger point to the Chachamim, not because you could make differentiations in these cases. And the Chachamim's bigger point is that we don't always say that which takes place today can be done beforehand. Right, just because if you brush your teeth you won't get a cavity, right, doesn't mean, right, that every time you brush your teeth, you won't get a cavity.
If this works, women just get to mix for like 12 times at the beginning of the year.
Make it conditional for the rest of the year. Right. It doesn't work. We know it doesn't work. That's the point of the Chum too, Rabbi Elazar. Look, we have, your principle is not foolproof. Alright, so that's their point. Alright, so now, Uma mikvah, Shema let tzmei, mitzumata minu matzilu tzor, mil tzmei, odam. Right, just like a person cannot prevent or not be mitar the tuma. Also, isn't it din that he can't save that which are tahor to be mitameh? Shmamina lo chaylan. You can see this; it's not chal. Right, what happens here? So, if you look, I have mitzvahs niske, guys. This is this. Right here, in the Ayin Vav Amud Aleph. Ayin Vav Amud Aleph. You have to turn the page there. Ayin Vav Amud Aleph says the Ran has the Ike Niske de Garsi Hachi. It's 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 lines down in the Ran from the top. 10 lines down. Ayin Vav Amud Aleph. Yeah, this Ran continues all the way through to near the bottom of Ayin Vav Amud Aleph. He brings three gersos. All right, I'll bring our gersos. We'll explain our gersos first, and then we'll go back to the other two gersos. Mitzvahs naskei garsei haki. This is our gersos. Umam mikvah shemalei tetzmei mitumasam enu matzila tahorim. That's the first case. Milatamei adam shein malei tetzmei mitumatam enu din shlo yatzila tahorim milatamei. V'haki pei rishos. Umam mikvah. Av mi shemalei tetzmei mitumatam enu matzila tahorim milatamei. Kidin arshinen. Me'anogia beniflatam yitzma. Right, Hillel Omer, Afilu Heim B'toch HaMayim. Even if they're in the water, Adam, Shein. Now, that's even when they're in the water, which is Atovah, which is Be'adah, or he's in the mikvah. So it's just the Tumah does not help him. So then, there are still two, Adam, Shein Malei Tetzmei Mitumatam, Shein Bova Adam Tahor. A Torah person swallowed Tabat Tmeya, a Tamei ring, Vehikia, and then he threw it up. Hadayin tumata aleha. The tumah remains on the ring. He doesn't change it. Eino din shalo yatzila tahorim. Then certainly letameh. Shimbala tabat tahora. He swallowed a tabat tahora. Vinichnas laohel. Then he goes into an olames. Shalo yatzila tabat. Shouldn't it be that the person does not protect the tabas that's inside of him? Like kabel tumah. Afilohafi matzil. Nevertheless, it does work. The tara bulo no mitamo. Because a tara that is swallowed is not mitameh. Alma, leklamidun kabachomer, ki hagavna. You see that kabachomers like this are not affected.
It's being inside of him, it's like being inside the sealed clitoris or.
Right, very good. Mashachal kvar, the mashalokhala dayin. That which took place already to that which did not take place yet. Haikadine, the haikadine. Right? All of them, each one could, on its own, below, la b'kula b'chumra tali. It's not a kal v'chumra in the true sense of kula and chumra. It's just a point. How can I be? So this is what I was saying to you, Daniel, that the point of this Tosefta is simply that just because something happens after the fact doesn't mean that it has impact or should we should make reference to it before the fact. So we give, Gemara gives two examples of that. One example is, I go to the mikveh after I'm tameh, I become tahor. But if I go to the mikveh prior to being tameh, it does not help me. Second example, if I swallow a ring that is tameh, once it is already tameh, it remains tameh after I swallow it. But yet, if I swallow the ring when it's tahor still, I'm able to protect it from becoming tameh. So it's, therefore there's a difference in the status of the ring after it's tameh than before it's tameh. And since that's the case, you see that there are differences between something after the fact and something prior to the fact. Just because something is true after the fact does not make it true prior to the fact.
So what's the name of to the Darim here?
Right, so just because a nether can be mufar after the fact, it's the after taking, does not mean it can be mufar prior to it being taken. That's the point. That's the point of making Rabbi Elazar, that your principle is not a foolproof principle. You can't make such kavachomers because we see in other places, in other halachot, that things are items that have, are effective or are in a status after the fact do not impact on the status of those items prior to the fact. And that's why we're saying you have an ineffective kavachomer because we don't. This your logic does not hold true in all cases. That's the Chachamim's answer to him. So that's one lishna. The easier lishna, the easier nusach is actually on the Ran and Ayin Hei and Amud Aleph, which is the the second to last, third to last line on Ayin Hei and Beis. Right, the Ran says over there, Kafkiya Girsa Mixas Sparim. This is the Girsa in some of the Sparim. Perish Rav Rav Baruch Zal. His Perish also. Kafkiya Amrei Rabbi Elazar Heifi Dan Kavachomer Shiyutar Hu Haroi Li Patel. Right, that you be matir, something that is in the future can be removed. Mashalo chal. Yisrael adayin, before it becomes effective. Mashakvar chal, on what is beforehand. Mikva yokiach. Mikva can prove it. Shemetaheret atzmeim. Shemetaheret, that which is tamei. Achar shiyar delahem tumah, after they became tamei. Veinu matzil ala tahorim. It does not save the those who are tahor. It doesn't prevent him from coming to me. So the simplest way is that the Gemara only has one case here, and that's the case of mikvah. So just like mikvah is ineffective before the fact, even though it's effective after the fact, so to my nether, just because it's effective after she takes a nether doesn't mean it's going to be effective, it'll be ineffective prior to taking the nether. There's only one comparison to that of mikveh. Because otherwise, the way the Gemara reads in the way that the second Gersa, and actually the third Gersa, we won't read the third Gersa, I don't think it really adds a lot, is that the Gemara says, Kamoshe, Oma mikveh, right? And then it says, so too. Adam, Shem, Malat, Tzmeim, Etam, Etam. But the way that we're reading the Gemara now is, I'm going to say, Oma mikveh, Oma Adam. It's not, there's no connection. The way that the Sefer reads, it's just like mikveh, so too Adam. But that's not really the case. The way we're reading the way we're reading in our Nusach is just like Mikvah and just like Adam. They're two separate cases, have nothing to do with each other, but they're both proving the same point. It's both making the same point, which is not the easiest way to read that Gemara. The Gemara seems to read is just like Mikvah, so to Adam. Right? And we don't, that's not what we're saying, because we're not saying so to Adam, because Adam's not relevant here to our case. We want so to Nidorah. Right? So that if you eliminate that second half of the Tosefta and you only bring Mikvah down, it's clear what the reference is. You have Mikvah, and then you're referencing back to Nidorah. That's easy. The way our Gersa reads is, we have Mikvah, and then we have Adam. And both of them are examples of cases where, even though it's effective after the fact, or once something has happened, there's a certain status retained. But prior to the fact, you can't create that same status. You can't create that same status prior to the fact, and that both of these will prove by Nidarim that you can't do a similar thing. All right, stop. We'll stop here, and we'll continue with this tomorrow.